world. But behind this brilliance of progress, the instability of social life becomes ever more apparent. Social order, though seemingly anchored by institutions, legal frameworks, and mechanisms of governance, trembles like a structure built on damp, shifting ground. The gap between technical prowess and the ability to maintain a stable, just, and viable society grows wider. It begins to seem that the more refined the tools of control become, the less predictable the behavior of the collective proves to be, and the more acutely communities respond to the slightest disruptions. Through this contradiction emerges the possibility that social engineering, if not reduced to mere enforcement or coercion, might require something deeper than regulation or command. Not only the management of populations, but the shaping of shared meanings, symbols, and expectations begins to matter. And yet, while instruments for altering the physical environment multiply with astonishing speed, the means for guiding social dynamics remains fragmentary, fragile, and often misapplied. Social engineering has long carried the weight of suspicion, its very name evoking shadows of manipulation, coercion, and the cold machinery of authoritarian design. In public imagination, it is often conflated with dystopian visions, figures in power shaping individuals like clay, molding society through surveillance, propaganda, or rigid control. The unease surrounding such efforts is not without cause, having been shaped by the painful legacy of ideologies that sought to forge perfection by force. History offers grim testimony to the dangers of totalizing visions. From the social experiments of revolutionary regimes to the technocratic dreams of rationally ordered utopias, attempts to redesign humanity according to rigid principles have too often ended in disillusionment and blood. Grand narratives of equality or purity, of harmony achieved through transformation from above, turned against the very people they claimed to elevate. In the name of progress, countless lives were uprooted, silenced, or sacrificed. The impulse to perfect society through sweeping intervention has proven itself not only morally perilous, but structurally flawed, unable to account for the unruly, evolving nature of human life. And yet, to discard the idea of shaping social conditions altogether would be to surrender a powerful instrument. What demands rethinking is not the desire to improve collective existence, but the terms under which such improvement is imagined. Rather than conceiving social engineering as the alteration of human nature or the forced imposition of order, it becomes necessary to view it as a form of environmental architecture, an ongoing, responsive crafting of the conditions in which choices are made, relations formed, and communities sustained. This shift in understanding moves attention from control to design, from imposition to invitation. It suggests that the true work lies not in reprogramming people, but in configuring the spaces, physical, symbolic, institutional, within which they live. In this light, social engineering becomes less a project of domination than a subtle art of arrangement, attentive to the limits of prediction and the necessity of plurality. At the center of every modern society pulses a tension both enduring and unresolved, the pull between freedom and control. On one side stands the ideal of autonomy, the promise that individuals might chart their own paths, unshackled by arbitrary authority or